I woke up paralyzed in a hospital bed, tubes running in and out of my body, my skin feeling like it was on fire. After months of hospitalization, my career in insurance sales had ended. Yet I wasn't worried about money. Why? Because the self-storage facilities I had purchased continued generating passive income even while I lay immobile. This devastating health crisis revealed the true power of my investment strategy, creating wealth that works for you even when you can't work yourself. Self-storage has emerged from obscurity to become one of commercial real estate's most lucrative sectors, with a $40 to $60 billion market that remains largely fragmented and ripe with opportunity. Unlike apartment buildings, where 80% are institutionally owned, 70% of self-storage facilities remain in the hands of individual owners, creating a perfect environment for savvy investors to find undervalued assets and dramatically increase their worth. Self-storage isn't just a real estate asset. It's a business with predictable cash flow and significant upside potential. The industry has transformed from chain-link junkyards to upscale facilities with climate control and meeting rooms, yet many locations remain stuck in the past, creating prime opportunities for value-add investors. These properties are uniquely recession-resistant. During economic downturns, people downsize but keep their possessions, driving storage demand. Meanwhile, broader economic trends continue favoring the industry. Smaller homes, cheaper consumer goods, increased mobility, and the rise of online businesses needing inventory space. What makes self-storage particularly attractive is the ability to create forced appreciation through improved management and modernization. Unlike other commercial real estate where institutional investors dominate, the fragmented ownership landscape allows individual investors to acquire facilities without competing against deep-pocketed REITs. By implementing modern technology, strategic marketing, and operational improvements, you can potentially double a facility's value in under a year, without depending on market appreciation. My wealth-building approach focuses on identifying underperforming facilities in growing markets, purchasing them at reasonable prices, and implementing proven systems to dramatically increase revenue. This strategy has allowed me to build a portfolio exceeding $100 million in assets, starting from a modest initial investment. The beauty of this approach is its scalability. You can begin with a small facility in a secondary market and progressively leverage your success into larger properties. The playbook is straightforward. Identify your goals and resources, find suitable markets and facilities, conduct thorough due diligence, secure financing, implement value-creating improvements, and either collect the enhanced revenue or refinance to recover your capital while maintaining ownership. This process creates a wealth vehicle that continues generating income regardless of your personal circumstances, as I discovered during my health crisis. Self-storage provides secure units with month-to-month lease agreements accessible through gated entrances. The business is operations-heavy, which creates both challenges and opportunities. Beyond just renting units, facilities offer multiple revenue streams, including insurance, packing supplies, and specialized storage options. Unlike apartment rentals, owners have greater eviction rights, and the short-term lease structure allows flexibility in raising rents. Markets are classified by population size, from major metropolitan areas, first tier, to small hometowns, fifth tier. The effective market for any facility is typically a 3 to 5 mile radius. Beyond size, population growth is critical. Stagnation hurts self-storage, while movement of people and goods benefits the industry. Approximately 10% of the population uses self-storage, falling into three categories: price-conscious customers, paying 30 to 50 cents a square foot for basic facilities; convenience-focused customers, choosing locations based on proximity; and quality-conscious customers, typically female homeowners willing to pay up to 80 cents a square foot for clean, secure facilities. The value-add strategy involves identifying facilities serving price-conscious tenants and upgrading them to attract higher-paying customers. Facilities themselves are classified by size: small, 10,000 through 50,000 SF, medium, 50,000 to 100,000 SF, and large, 100,000 plus SF. Medium facilities around 85,000 SF offer the best balance of profitability and management efficiency. A facility's appearance directly affects the tenant type it attracts, with quality-conscious customers expecting high-end appearances, top security, well-trained staff, and additional services. The best investment opportunities are undervalued facilities with one or more of these characteristics. Needs updating or upgrading, has little or no online presence, lacks curb appeal, or isn't being managed effectively. Finding a facility with all these issues in a good market is a gold mine, but even one characteristic can create a great leveraging opportunity. My preferred method is buying underperforming facilities and turning them around. This approach lets me accurately measure the upside while reducing risk. I can purchase a facility generating 50 cents per square foot when competitors earn 80 cents, knowing I can reach that level by improving the property. Meanwhile, I'm earning income during the transformation process. Using a 60,000 SF facility example, at 50 cents per SF monthly, 30K a month or 360K yearly, with a 38% expense ratio and 10% vacancy, the net is $223,200. At a 7% cap rate, that's a $2.8 million purchase price. But with basic improvements of 50 to 100K, revenue can increase from 50 cents to 80 cents per SF. At just 65 cents per SF, the facility would be worth $4.7 million, creating nearly $2 million in value in under a year. The strategy works because self-storage is more retail than real estate. Unlike apartments, facilities can be completely remodeled with relatively simple, fast, and inexpensive improvements. Technology has revolutionized operations and marketing. Today's customers search online rather than responding to street signage, making web presence crucial. Modern property management systems connect all operational aspects from contracts to payments, while advanced security systems and data aggregation services have transformed the business. My partners and I started with a 200K investment on a 665K purchase in a remote Idaho location. Though we ultimately sold it at a 40K loss, the experience proved invaluable. We used a 1031 exchange to buy our next facility, a 40K SF location for $1.4 million with 290K down. By applying what we'd learned, we increased rates, improved management, and sold it for $2.2 million just over a year later. We immediately used another 1031 exchange to put our $1 million profit toward a 70K SF facility for $3.6 million. 2 years later, that property is worth nearly $8 million. Our initial 200K investment has grown to $4 million in 4 years, with annual cash flow exceeding our original investment. Market understanding is crucial regardless of your entry strategy. Self-storage is hyper-local. Customers typically come from within a 5-mile radius. Look beyond facility numbers to understand competitors' offerings, operations, technology use, rates, and occupancy. The ideal market has a growing, expanding population with diverse employers that have been consistently growing. When evaluating markets, focus on supply and demand, the most critical factor in self-storage success. While data aggregator software helps analyze this, it's both science and art. The 8 SF per capita benchmark isn't absolute. I've seen overbuilt markets at 8 SF and thriving markets at 14 SF. Generally, over 10 SF per capita warrants concern, but verify with occupancy rates. Do footwork, call facilities, visit showrooms as a customer, talk to managers. Understanding the pipeline of future supply requires investigating both government plans and competition. Check where facilities can be built, what's currently under construction, and what's in development. This is particularly crucial in small markets. A single 35K SF facility could oversaturate demand. Look for price differentials between better operators and underperforming ones. This shows the market will pay premiums for quality. Target poorly managed facilities for purchase, identifying whether the opportunity lies in physical improvements, operational changes, or both. Underperforming facilities might need cosmetic updates, better rate management, many are 100% full but haven't raised rates in years, improved marketing, better management, or a revised unit mix. When contacting facility owners, build relationships by asking why they got into storage, how long they've operated, and what their occupancy rates are. Share your investment plans and express interest in purchasing their facility, potentially with flexible seller financing. Buy based on potential, but don't pay for it. This fundamental principle guides successful self-storage acquisitions. While cap rates serve as industry benchmarks, they often prove inadequate for accurate self-storage valuation. I've successfully acquired undervalued facilities across a wide spectrum, from 5 caps to 9 caps, by focusing on operational inefficiencies and management processes that directly impact revenue potential. The key lies in identifying facilities where basic operational improvements can unlock significant value. The expense ratio plays a crucial role in cap rate calculations by determining net operating income. In self-storage, several critical expenses are frequently overlooked or underestimated. These include bad debt write-offs, comprehensive management costs, seasonal maintenance like landscaping and snow removal, recurring capital expenses, tax adjustments following purchase, and marketing expenses. A particular challenge in mom-and-pop operations is rent collection efficiency. Many facilities struggle with 10 to 15% of units occupied by non-paying tenants, essentially functioning as free storage. By implementing professional collection procedures and automated payment systems, new owners can quickly boost effective revenue by 10% or more. Management cost accounting represents a significant blind spot in valuations, especially for owner-operated facilities. Many small operators fail to include their own time and effort in expense calculations, creating artificially inflated profit figures. Professional management fees typically range from 4.5 to 6% of revenue, representing a real cost that must be factored into any valuation analysis. Capital expenditure requirements often become critical valuation factors. Sellers may be motivated to sell precisely because they're facing substantial upcoming maintenance costs. Common examples include roof replacements, security gate systems, $15,000 to $25,000, or parking lot resurfacing, $2 to $4 per square foot. Property tax reassessments following a purchase can also significantly impact profitability, with taxes often doubling or tripling based on new valuations. Deal sourcing generally falls into two categories: paid, on-market, and earned, off-market opportunities. On-market deals, typically listed through brokers or commercial platforms, command premium prices and often represent properties that sophisticated buyers have already passed on. Off-market deals offer greater potential returns but require substantial effort to source and close. Success in off-market acquisitions demands building strong relationships with specialized brokers who understand self-storage dynamics and your specific investment criteria. Equally important is developing your own acquisition pipeline through systematic networking, detailed market research, and direct owner outreach. Successful buyers often contact 100-plus owners to find one viable off-market opportunity, but the effort typically yields better pricing and terms than competitive bid situations. Financing for self-storage facilities typically comes from two primary sources: your own capital or other people's money, OPM. Personal contribution usually covers the down payment, ranging from 10-20% of the purchase price, while OPM funds the remaining 80-90%. Your financing approach should align with your business goals, whether you're seeking a passive income stream or building a full-time storage empire. Market size and location significantly impact capital requirements. In smaller, tertiary markets, facilities might cost $1 to $3 million, making self-funding or seller financing viable options. Second-tier markets typically demand $3 to $8 million investments, requiring a combination of personal capital and OPM. First-tier markets in major metropolitan areas often necessitate 100% OPM financing, with investments ranging from $15 to $25 million and requiring sophisticated investor networks or institutional partnerships. The key to successful self-storage investing lies in forced appreciation rather than speculative market gains. This strategy involves identifying facilities where current revenue per square foot falls 20 to 30% below market rates. Common opportunities include outdated management systems, poor marketing, suboptimal pricing strategies, or neglected maintenance. By implementing professional management practices, modernizing operations, and improving occupancy rates, investors can boost NOI significantly within 12 to 24 months. Alternative financing structures are particularly prevalent in self-storage. Seller financing remains attractive, especially when dealing with individual owners approaching retirement. These arrangements typically feature 5 to 10-year terms with interest rates 1 to 2% below conventional loans. Master lease options, private equity partnerships, and UPREIT transactions also provide creative financing solutions for larger portfolios. Building relationships with potential financiers requires demonstrating industry expertise through detailed market analysis, comprehensive business plans, and proven management capabilities. Regional banks and credit unions, typically those with $500 million to $2 billion in assets, often offer more flexible terms than national institutions. These local lenders better understand market dynamics and may offer more favorable debt service coverage ratios, 1.25 to 1.35 versus 1.40 to 1.50 at larger banks. When structuring financing, carefully evaluate interest rate spreads, typically 200 to 300 basis points above LIBOR, prepayment penalties and defeasance costs, amortization periods, 25 to 30 years standard, recourse requirements, extension options, and cash management provisions. While self-storage has historically demonstrated stability during economic downturns, maintaining conservative leverage, 65 to 75% LTV, provides crucial protection against market fluctuations. Successful operators typically maintain 6 to 12 months of operating reserves and establish multiple banking relationships to ensure financing flexibility. After purchasing a facility, the real work begins. Transfer day marks the ownership transition and requires careful planning. When taking over a facility, carefully examine existing vendor contracts before deciding whether to continue them. I recommend negotiating your own vendor relationships rather than assuming existing ones, as this gives you better control and flexibility. For your first purchase, be directly involved, even if you retain a manager. With underperforming facilities, existing managers often don't stay on board, as they're frequently part of the performance problem. If keeping current managers, clearly define your operational expectations. Before purchasing a facility, determine your management approach, as it will influence what type of property to acquire. Self-management works best for flipping facilities and value-add strategies, while third-party management options have expanded but require careful vetting. Individual operators often provide best value but require careful vetting. Mid-size companies offer reasonable rates with more hands-on service, while REIT-owned companies charge higher fees, around 6% of gross margin, keep all add-on service revenue, and have restrictive contracts. Your property management system, PMS, significantly impacts your expense ratio and operational efficiency. Look for software with an open API that allows data sharing for marketing, occupancy, inventory, and revenue analysis. The best systems can automate lease signing, auto payments, renewals, and gate access. Design facility upgrades to meet market demand while exceeding the quality of your best competitors. Focus on upgrading the showroom, lighting, security systems, and automation that interfaces with your property management software. Complete upgrades quickly, hire and train staff during the process, and immediately raise rates to filter out price-sensitive customers. Customer management makes or breaks a facility. Prioritize customer service, especially for women who are primary decision makers. Create an office environment that feels safe and secure with visible security cameras. Ensure your facility looks good, smells good, and demonstrates security measures. In competitive markets, excellent customer service is essential. Treat self-storage as a business with focus on revenue management. Understanding a tenant's lifetime value, monthly rent times length of stay, compared to acquisition costs reveals each customer's true worth. Target tenants with higher lifetime values since building costs remain fixed while profit increases. After successfully purchasing and increasing the value of a storage facility, the next step is determining how to leverage that success. Four main options exist: refinancing, getting a line of credit, accumulating cash, or selling. Refinancing is a powerful tool in a value-add strategy. It allows you to get a lower cap rate, better loan terms, recover your initial investment, and reinvest in new properties. For example, after increasing rates to market levels over 2 to 3 years, a facility's value grows substantially. Refinancing at the same 70-30 ratio increases your debt, but also your ability to pay it. By recovering your initial investment, your returns become infinite since you're playing with the house's money. Instead of selling, borrowing against your equity allows reinvestment without triggering tax events. You maintain ownership of the first asset and its revenue stream while accessing capital for new investments. In lower-tier markets, growing on cash flow rather than refinancing can be preferable. Selling provides immediate funds for value-add strategies or passive income goals. For rapid capital growth, capitalize on increased value by selling and investing returns in larger facilities using 1031 exchanges. Consider sell price versus buy price. If you can sell at a 5 cap and buy the same value at an 8 cap, that's a good deal. After learning to grow value in your first facility, repeat the process as many times as desired. For small market investments, diversify across different small markets. Never invest in the same small market more than once, as they can be extremely volatile. After growing to 3 or 4 facilities, use cash flow or equity through credit lines or refinancing to buy larger deals in bigger markets. To succeed in self-storage, build a team for both deal flow and operations. For deals, you need accountants, lenders, brokers, legal, and financing people. For operations, you need legal, accounting, mentors, management companies, and vendors handling day-to-day operations. My business strategies for dominating self-storage focus on 2 key elements: compounding returns and capital recovery. I compound by applying a value-add strategy to underperforming assets, creating returns I can reinvest. For all our assets, we achieve 100+ returns with capital recovery within 3 to 4 years, creating infinite returns thereafter. This requires systematic processes, what I call a franchise system that separates time from income. Self-storage facilities carry more inherent risk than many investors initially assume. Operating on month-to-month leases creates higher tenant turnover compared to traditional real estate assets like apartments, 12 to 24-month leases, or retail spaces, 5 to 10-year leases. This flexibility, while beneficial for customers, creates more volatile income streams. However, experienced operators who understand seasonal patterns, local market dynamics, and operational best practices can effectively mitigate these risks to achieve consistent 15-25% returns on investment. The foundation of risk protection begins with proper business structuring through a 2-tiered LLC approach. Each individual storage facility should be owned by its own separate LLC, which then funnels profits up to a holding company LLC. This creates multiple layers of asset protection. If one facility faces litigation, the others remain protected. Additionally, the holding company structure allows for more efficient tax planning and simplified management of multiple properties. Risk management can be broken down into 3 critical elements: capital protection, C, focus on recovering initial investment through cash-out refinancing once the property stabilizes; individual liability protection, I, implement proper LLC structuring and maintain comprehensive insurance coverage; bank risk management, B, utilize non-recourse CMBS loans that limit exposure to the specific asset rather than personal assets. Refinancing strategies require careful timing and consideration. The ideal window for refinancing occurs after achieving 85 to 90% sustained occupancy, implementing operational improvements, establishing consistent cash flow for at least 12 months, creating a 1.25 to 1.35 debt service coverage ratio, building a 10 to 15% safety margin in operations. When acting as a loan guarantor, understand that you're redistributing risk rather than eliminating it. While leverage can accelerate portfolio growth, it also amplifies both gains and losses. Conduct regular stress testing of your properties using various scenarios. Occupancy drops of 10 to 15%, interest rate increases of 100 to 200 basis points, operating expense increases of 15 to 20%, market rent decreases of 10%. Additional protection measures should include maintaining adequate insurance coverage, property, liability, business interruption, regular facility maintenance and security upgrades, building cash reserves for unexpected expenses, developing relationships with multiple lenders, and creating detailed emergency response plans. Remember that conservative financial planning often outweighs aggressive growth strategies in the long term. While leverage can build wealth faster, it also amplifies vulnerability during market downturns. Always maintain sufficient cash reserves and avoid over-leveraging properties even during strong market conditions. Self-storage offers a unique opportunity to build wealth and achieve financial freedom through a proven value-add strategy. The industry remains fragmented with tremendous investment opportunities, particularly due to its historically fragmented nature. The key opportunity lies in finding facilities that haven't adopted modern technology, purchasing them at undervalued prices, then upgrading with technology, targeted marketing, and aesthetic improvements. This approach has allowed me to build a portfolio exceeding $100 million in assets, starting from a modest initial investment. More importantly, it created financial stability that supported my family even when my health crisis left me unable to work for months. The passive income from my self-storage facilities continued flowing regardless of my personal circumstances, the ultimate test of a true wealth vehicle. The beauty of self-storage investing is its scalability and accessibility. You can start with a single small facility in a secondary market, learn the business, implement improvements to increase value, then leverage that success to acquire additional properties. Whether your goal is modest passive income or building a substantial real estate empire, the same principles apply. Self-storage is beautifully scalable from very small assets in small markets to massive ones in large markets. Choose what matches your comfort level and goals. The most important thing is to get started. Apply the value-add principles consistently and build your knowledge and network along the way. Financial freedom isn't just about wealth accumulation. It's about creating income streams that continue working for you regardless of your personal circumstances.